Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. We are kicking off the third hour here on this live Saturday episode. You, as always, can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything you want to discuss. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
Yeah.
However, that number right now is loaded up. We have every single phone line occupied.
Phones are packed. Even the SIP line?
No.
Oh, okay.
With the exception of the SIP line. Now, the SIP line, really only to talk about it when we run out of regular phone lines or when somebody happens to call on it. Which doesn't happen that often. It is open right now, but you do have to jump through a couple hoops to get connected. You have to get the right program. You have to sign up for a SIP account with a free provider. It doesn't take that long to do, but it's a little more involved than just dialing the phone number. So go to
VIP line.
Kinda, yeah.
You sound great, and almost no one ever uses it.
That's right, yeah. It is an increase, typically, to your audio quality as well.
Instead of a very important person, it's a super important person.
You can go to great. Idea. I like that. SIP.freetalklive.com. That's SIP.freetalklive.com. There's step-by-step instructions there for iPhone users or Android users. You can make that happen, and then we'll get you on here. Of course, you can also call 603-283-6160 as soon as you hear somebody hang up. So here tonight, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
We still have Chad with us calling from Michigan. He's listening to us online. And Chad, apparently, you know, you had more things to say. We were talking about immigration. Somebody called in about it. And, of course, that always blows up the phones typically. So what else did you want to share tonight?
Well, I mean, my point being that, especially with conservatives, I mean, these people are big supporters of Reagan, the Bushes. These guys, their foreign policy turned the third world into a living hell. And as a result of that, not just the drug war, there was a lot of stuff going on. And this is the same for Europe and the policies after World War One in the Middle East that caused the Middle East to burn. And it's burned down to the point where these people, they don't want to leave their home. These people don't want to just pack up everything just to come here to get free government cheese.
Right.
Yes, they might when they get here. The reason that they're coming here is because they're terrified for their lives because of American foreign policy. So if all of these conservatives are so worried about these people crossing the borders now, they should have done something about it when we actually could. And I mean, what would you do if your family was in a situation where there were death squads? You know, the School of the Americas, the CIA was running a massive drug running operation out of Central America. George Bush Sr. was in charge of it. His Zapata Oil Company was a front for running drugs.
Hold on a second. Are you saying the CIA was running drugs? You mean they're not running drugs now?
Right.
Well, of course they're still running drugs. And I mean, that's the thing is that, I mean, is anyone, like, this stuff is not getting brought up in mainstream politics, but there's an enormous amount of evidence for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kids who got murdered down in Mena, Arkansas, the whole Barry Seal thing.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys have destroyed Central America, and that's where a lot of these people are coming. It's not even from Mexico. A lot of them are coming from Central America, and they're going on foot all the way to the American border. That's insane.
Just imagine that.
I mean, these people, this is not because they want to come here and get Social Security, okay? That's not why they're doing it. I mean, like I said, that could be a side effect, you know?
And which they wouldn't qualify for anyway, you know?
Well, most likely, they probably wouldn't qualify for Social Security. I'm sure there's some things they could get. I'm not even worried about that. You've got to stop murdering people in other countries,
right,
and then they won't want to flee.
Unfortunately, Chad, I mean, you nail it. You're nailing it. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Unfortunately, the conservatives now want to start an actual hot war. Some of these conservatives, they actually have a bill in Congress to send the military into Mexico to actually have a war. to actually start a real shooting war with the cartels in Mexico. This is what they're actually proposing. And it's not just the presidential candidates like that Vivek character that we mentioned previously, who actually is out there on the campaign trail pounding the war drums for a war with the cartels, claiming that fentanyl is a war against the United States. They're fighting a war against our citizens, so we should fight back with bombs in the military. I mean, that's where they're going now. It's not enough killing in South America.
I have a great idea. Sure. If you want to win this war, so stop funding them. All of their money is coming from the fact that drugs are illegal here.
That's right.
All of their money comes from drugs that are sold in countries where it's illegal. If you make it legal, then all that extra, the extra on top of what the market would demand for just an agricultural product, all of that extra from the risk wouldn't exist. And then all that money wouldn't be going to all of the, fully automatic weapons that these cartels have.
But then what would happen with a military-industrial complex? I mean, they've got to have wars to fight.
Yeah, I mean, like, can you imagine, like,
it would just be the industrial complex.
How soon would we have gotten out of Afghanistan, or if we'd ever gone in at all, if heroin was legalized and we wouldn't have been protecting those poppy fields?
Doesn't the CIA stand for cocaine in America?
They certainly do run all of the cocaine in America.
Chad, any other thoughts you want to share? Go ahead.
That's it for now. Thanks, guys.
A best call of the night so far. Thank you for the call tonight, Chad. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. Let's talk to Wayne. He's calling us from Tennessee, listening in Chattanooga.
Swain's World.
WGOW. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's on your mind?
Party time.
Yeah, man, excellent. I was just listening to you earlier tonight. Tonight's the first time I've actually listened to you guys.
Thanks.
Sure, I'll be listening some more in the future. But so when you were talking about the welfare system, I believe it's widely taken advantage of when it comes to Section 8 housing and food stamps, SNAP, whatever you want to call it. But you mentioned that, why can't we just have churches funded and stuff like that? Where would those donations come from?
People who want to help others.
Yeah, so, right. So the politicians okay, so right now, there are politicians getting elected because they make the promises of feeding the hungry and clothing the people and giving them housing. Those people are getting elected to positions in politics because they promise to do that. Now, that means people want these things done. Now, when people want things done, they're willing to pay for them. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, well, I don't see how, if it were based solely off of donations, where you would come up with that amount of money needed to supply the needs for the ones who actually need it.
So then it's okay to force people to have to give up their money, making them basically slaves, to fund something that you don't believe?
Absolutely not. Well, I would suggest, in a perfect world, I would suggest that there are more restrictions, more, hoops you have to jump through in order to get on these governments.
So he wants more controls over the welfare state.
Not control. I think we should know where our tax dollars are going, exactly where they're going, dollar for dollar. And there should be more restrictions. So say I were to apply for these programs, I can't just jump in there and say, here, pay my $800 a month mortgage or $950 a month food stamps. You need to prove, without a shadow of doubt, that you actually need services.
Well, here's the thing. The government, A, is not capable of making that determination, and B, will never be capable of making that determination, and C, has no incentive to give the money to the right people. Now, what would work, if you had competing charities, they've got to say, hey, here are the people that I've helped. If they want your money, they have to show that they're doing their job. So they will find whether or not these people actually need this assistance so that they can brag about it later, so that they can get more donations and compete in the market of charity.
I think there's something you're missing, Wayne. I want to come back to your objection about the money. There's not enough, right? Oh, there's not enough money. We need the government to handle it. I think there was a really great point that Dr. Mary Ruart made in her book, Healing Our World, where when you look at the overhead of a charity, an effective charity, it's like 90% goes to the beneficiaries and 10% runs the charity. Maybe 80-20, right? Like a particularly effective charity.
Yep.
When you look at welfare programs from the government, it's the reverse.
Yeah.
It's like the at best 70 or 60% pays the bureaucrats and 20 to 30% goes to the recipients. Now, we also know that if you fill out the forms correctly, you get the paycheck, right? Because as you were pointing out, Wayne, they're not as selective. They're not looking at, you know, who's who and why do they need the money. They don't care. They're just bureaucrats. They stamp the forms. You know, they cut the check. Boom, done. So not only do you have just out the gate more efficiency from a private charity, they're going to take the same they're going to take even a lesser donation and do more with it, but also they're going to give it to the right people instead of just giving it to anybody who fills out the form. So the reality is the charities don't even need maybe an eighth of the money that the welfare system currently uses.
You're absolutely right.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking, who do I know would donate
I want to address program. That one. So, like, imagine, if you will, that we had a government program that gave everyone a car. Now, in that world, you would probably be saying, look, I just don't think that there are going to be people who are willing to put together the companies to make cars. It's a huge investment. We obviously have to do this with a centralized system. But we don't live in a world where car making is monopolized by the government. We do live in a world where charity is monopolized by the government.
Yeah.
So if that weren't there, then people would be able to compete in that market.
Have you ever seen, Wayne, you're listening there on WGOW. I don't know what kind of fundraisers they do on that station, but a lot of times, usually like in the holiday season, a radio station will go down to a local grocery store and they'll do like a Toys for Tots or cans for poor families thing. And they literally fill truck after truck after truck of donations to poor and needy families from people who just come by and bring some old toys or brand new toys or, you know, canned food that they just bought at the grocery store, and they just load up on donations. And that's with the overhead of taxes that everybody has to pay. I think that all the evidence shows that people in America, people around the world for that matter, are generous and they want to help people. And if they have the resources, they will help people. And so if we don't have the overhead of having to pay for the welfare state, that's more money in the pockets of the average person that they can give to these charities.
Every government program can and should be a GoFundMe.
And one side of this is people love being part of a church that actually does something. Like that,
it's meaningful.
It gives them a meaningful identity to be like, look, this is what my church is doing. They love that. And churches really like to have members. So absolutely, there's going to be a huge push for that as soon as the government isn't cheating.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you smashed my argument there. I was completely in line with most of everything what you guys are saying, but the first thing that popped into my mind was, you know, we'll get rid of the welfare program altogether. You know, there's going to be a lot of hungry children. There's going to be a lot of hungry grandparents. You know,
no way. They'll be eating better than ever. And thank you for the call, Wayne. I do appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate you calling in with that question. It is a darn good question. It really is.
He was calling from Wayne Speedway.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic going on out there. That's all right. It's a good conversation. It's an important one as well. You know, how will people be taken care of? And you know, things would happen that aren't necessarily happening today that may have happened in the past that we can kind of go and look at, like a mutual aid kind of society.
I was just thinking of friendly societies.
Well, can you explain that? What is that?
So friendly societies are something that doesn't happen anymore.
Yes, an old idea.
They were people who would get together and pool their resources.
Mm-hmm.
For example, before government got involved in healthcare, communities of people used to get together and they would fund a doctor.
Right.
You mean
everyone.
Like the Shriners? Right. You remember those guys in little cars with the funny hats?
That was one of them.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah,
stuff, right?
Those are the remnants of what we call friendly societies. They were largely groups of men who got together and tried to solve problems.
Right.
Ooh, wow, what, weird.
Voluntarily.
Yeah, like, whoa, unheard of, right? So, like, they would get together, they would all pool their money, everybody chip in, right?
Yeah.
It's like chipping in for pizza. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got 10 on it, I got 5, I got, you know, 12, whatever it is, right? It's the same kind of thing. Y'all chip in and pay a doctor's salary for a year. Now everybody's got a doctor. He'll do house calls, right? And if somebody is, like, sort of monopolized, if you got a hypochondriac in the group or something, right? You've got ways to solve that problem. One, that person who's monopolizing the doctor or taking up more time than everybody else can pay a higher share.
Sure.
Or the group can put some social pressure onto this person and say, hey, look, we all need this doctor because we're all paying, you know, yeah, the same amount for it. But, you know, you're taking up, you know, 25% of his time. You know, can you work with us and reduce that, right? Put some social pressure on. And worst case scenario, right, you kick him out of the friendly society, right? If it's if they're not, you know, playing fair, mm-hmm, so to speak, or playing along with the agreement, right, then they can go form their own society.
A hypochondriac society where they're all fighting over them.
Perhaps a hypochondriac doctor will serve as that. I'm just saying that these are all solvable problems,
right,
and we can look to the past to solve the future problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you eliminate government, then it's up to men to make these things happen. And so if people can get together voluntarily, pool their resources because, well, they're not getting stolen from anymore, 50% of their value, 50% of their pay, right, through all sorts of taxation, whether it's income tax or property tax or sales tax or sin tax or lottery tax or the list goes on and on. If you're not getting that money stolen from you, now you suddenly have an influx of wealth with which you can choose to do the things you want. And if you're charity-minded, now you can go and pick the charities that you think are effective,
right,
the ones that you think are doing the things that you think need to be done, instead of being forced to pay for a pseudo-charitable organization, at best,
the government,
right, called the government, which is really just using your money to drop bombs on other people and then giving a little bit to some people here and there so that
you
something to talk about.
Corporate welfare is what they're really all about. That's where a lot of the government tax money that they steal from you goes, is to their buddies,
right,
in industry, these mega corporations that during COVID, for instance, got literally hundreds of billions of dollars in printed money that, of course, came out of your pocket,
yeah,
through the magic of inflation. All of that could end, and then you would have so much more that could actually be going to helping people. And you talk about the friendly societies. You can apply today's technology to organizing.
It could
that,
be an app.
Right? Right? Yeah, it could easily be an app.
It doesn't have to be like a clubhouse and a bunch of men and cigars.
Right.
It doesn't have to be any of that.
I mean, you can have a funny hat if you want.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Maybe that's the funny hat society.
Right.
But the other thing is, imagine all of the, we'll call them products or services, that government currently monopolizes, right? I will just take a few of them. We were talking about sewers earlier. Mm-hmm. We talk about security all the time, policing, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Right? Imagine that every one of these products or services that government provides, quote unquote, was now available to you on a need-only basis. And you could just look at this menu like it's a restaurant menu,
mm-hmm,
and you could go, okay, well, I don't need any of that because that doesn't apply to me or my business or my, mm-hmm, vocation or whatever. So what I do need is some of this, and I need it in this budget range. And what I do need is some of that, and I need it in this budget range. I don't need as much of this as Dave does because Dave is a different person than I, but I need more of this, and Dave doesn't. And so now I get to pick and choose from a menu of the charitable services I want to contribute to, of the security service that I want to protect my home, my property, my belongings, my person, my car, whatever it is. Think of it like insurance if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now you get to choose all of that, and you get to pay a much lower price than you're currently paying.
Yeah. And one of the things that got the government really screwed up our society through the insurance requirements is that everyone who had health insurance for their body suddenly had to buy health insurance for their mind. So all of a sudden, you have these subsidies because people are forced to pay for health insurance for all of these mental medications. So all of these people who, well, I've got health insurance, I'm paying for this, I may as well get my mind checked out. Oh, wouldn't you know it? We have a syndrome for everyone.
Boom, you're on drugs.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You can't have a gun anymore.
Right. And that is what bloated the psychiatry profession. And that's why, like I was saying earlier, look, they're just glorified drug dealers. That's
sure.
all.
That's what they are. Absolutely. You know, one of the advertisers we had years ago, I don't remember their name per se, but they were one of these Christian health sharing organizations,
mm-hmm,
which sounds a lot like the friendly society you were talking about,
mm-hmm,
but it's, you know, a nationwide program. It's not just the local old guys trying to solve a problem. It's these religious folks that have come together and said, hey, if you've got our belief system, we want to help you. And you got to pay into it, of course, just like, you know, an insurance. But it's not insurance.
It's just sharing, right? So it's not under that same category, but it does help people pay the bills when they have unexpected health bills that come due. And that's so things like this do still exist.
There was, I wish for the life of me I could remember it. They used to advertise it for it on Part of the Problem all the time. But basically there was this company that did what insurance used to do. Like they actually solved the problem of getting people's medical bills paid by having a pool that people paid into,
right.
But that is not allowed to be called
insurance.
Health insurance.
Right.
They can't call that insurance.
It's health sharing.
Right.
What they call it.
Health sharing. There you go. Yeah.
It sounds like you guys are talking about, and I'm going to use a brand here even though I don't want to, Aflac. You guys
I've heard of them, but I don't know anything besides they have a duck.
Supplemental health insurance stuff, right?
That's what they called it at the time. I don't know what if they're still calling it that. But the idea was, hey, your employer is paying your health insurance. But as we've seen, when somebody gets sick and, you know, you got to pay your bills and, you know, your mortgage payment and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and you're not actually being productive, you're not generating any income. And so your health insurance is only going to cover, like, your hospital stay. There's you know, probably a copay for that as well. You know, it's only going to cover so much.
Who's paying the rent?
So who's paying the rent? Who's paying the bills? Who's buying the groceries? So along comes these supplemental companies, and they do what's called gap insurance, right? And they fill in the gaps, so to speak. So, you know, if you do, you know, you pay into it, of course, much like insurance, and some employers will set it up so it just comes out of your paycheck or whatever. You kind of really don't see it much. But what it'll do is fill in the gaps and provide for you in a time of need. It's exactly what you're describing. It's a pool of money that a whole bunch of people pay into, and then when a guy needs it, they show up and they're like, rent's paid, bills are paid, car payment's made, your electric's paid.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long process to screw up insurance. I mean, the reason that got screwed up in the very first place is that they put wage caps during, I think it was World War II, but all of the companies were not allowed to offer over a certain amount, and they've still got to compete for talent.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, all these people are buying insurance. If we pay for their insurance, if they're, you know, a high position, well, that way we can attract some talent. So it became this huge thing for all of the companies and corporations to offer insurance to attract talent, and then it just became an expected thing that your job pays for your insurance.
The illustration I like to give to people of why health insurance is bloated, overregulated, and just a monster to deal with is look at your health insurance versus your vehicle insurance. Right? Now, insurance is supposed to be a thing you pay into just in case the worst happens, right? So this is true with your vehicle, right? You pay your monthly thing, and, you know, if you get into an accident, you know, the insurance comes in and they take care of things, right? They write some checks, they hire some people, they take care of that kind of thing. When it comes to healthcare, though, they pay for it all. You pay just a little tiny bit when you're treated.
Right.
So that's an example of how different healthcare insurance is from any other type of insurance because of government regulations.
Right.
We got more coming up here and enough time if you want to join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. We got archives there that go back for many years. Downloadable totally for free. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA USA News Update. Migrants seeking asylum in the U.S. this week are being assigned court dates in the next decade. Some migrants who came through Texas on Thursday were given immigration court dates in Chicago and Florida for as late as 2032 and 2035. The University of Idaho is awarding posthumous degrees to four murdered students. School officials say each of the victims killed in the off-campus stabbing in November will receive degrees in their areas of study this weekend. Former President Trump is attacking Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in a new ad. In his latest video, Trump called him Ron DeSanctimonious and said he needed a, quote, personality transplant. Trump also called the governor's recent foreign travels a, quote, total bomb. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is expected to easily beat the competition this weekend at the box office domestically. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We have enough time. If you want to join the show, you can just hop on our SIP line. Go to sip.freetalklive.com. The super important person, I think the captain said.
I did, yeah.
Person like that.
Hey, look, I'm also wearing a Beard Talk Live t-shirt now.
Yeah,
for small enough values of wearing, yes.
The most bearded Liberty show online.
Indeed, and it will be online tonight at 10:30 Eastern time.
Cover it up a little bit.
Captain has his new Beard Talk Live t-shirts available. And I'm sure you'll tell us more about it at the time, which will be 10:30 Eastern tonight over at watch.freetalklive.com or on any of our other video streaming platforms, but not on the radio. We love the radio, but sadly there's a pesky FCC in the way of being able to say things you really want to say.
Pesky is an understatement.
Yeah, so there won't be an FCC applying to Beard Talk Live, and there never has been. So join them tonight, 10:30 Eastern, watch.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here. We have James. He's calling us from Miami. James, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound fine. Go ahead, James.
Oh, thank you. Actually, Ian, I told you I was going to call you about the border thing, right? But I want to ask you real quick because I was trying to call the other day when you were talking about the FBI doesn't want to give you back your computers, remember?
Yeah, they tend to not want to give you things back that they take from you.
Well, I wanted to call you about that, but I wasn't able to call because I had an idea. I remember something that Vincent said about they came to your house and they took your big screen TV. Is that true?
No, no, they left the big screen TV. They only wanted
an Aria.
They only want to take the TV with Aria. They only want to take stuff that has storage capacity, mm-hmm. right? So flash drives and DVDs or hard drives, computers,
video game systems.
Apparently, they did take a video game system of hers, but yeah, that's what they like to take.
Wow. Well, I hope they give them back to you, man, for real.
Well, thank you. I definitely appreciate that. I'd rather just not go to prison. Ultimately, whether we get the stuff back or not is a lesser concern. But
yeah, they're a lot like that horrible teacher back in school, only with tasers. That, you know, you can't have that thing. I'm going to put that in my drawer, and you will never get it back. It's like that, only with a billy club.
So what else did you want to say tonight, James?
Well, the thing is, I've been listening. Okay, I know you guys had an interview years ago with Alex Jones, remember?
Many years ago, yeah. We talked to Alex Jones on his show. We also had him on our show. We talked to him about immigration. That's all I remember.
He's bringing up old ass.
Well, do you know the guy that works for him, Owen Schroeder, that has a show?
I do not know him. I've seen some of his content, but I don't personally know him.
Well, he's been covering the whole thing on the border. He's been there, and he has, like, videos of them putting people in these buses and bringing them in. So the thing I was wondering, to get a better information about this situation, I was thinking, isn't there a way that I don't think Alex Jones, to the truth, the best person for you guys to talk about that would be Owen, because he's been there. So I was wondering if you guys were thinking about doing an interview with him, maybe asking him about that, see what he knows.
No, I wasn't really thinking about bringing a talk show host on here. We actually had David Hathaway on earlier this week. He is the actual sheriff of a border community, Santa Cruz County, Arizona. If you were to go, I think he was on last night, if I recall correctly, and at some other point during this week. Usually I'll put his name in the show description, so if you look for David Hathaway in our previous week's shows, you'll probably find which ones he was in. But he's the actual sheriff, and he's a libertarian. Now, he ran as a Democrat, so, you know, because you got to get elected. But he's a principled libertarian. He used to be in the DEA a long time ago until he finally found Ron Paul and started questioning, you know, some of the things that he was doing for a living and changed his mind. And since then, he's actually literally written the book on immigration. He is an author, and he wrote a book about it years ago. He was actually a sponsor of ours like a decade ago. Probably around the same time we were on the Alex Jones show. And so the guy knows his stuff when it comes to immigration, because he's literally down there on the border.
What I'd like to know, a lot of people are upset about immigrants being bussed into, you know, different areas, presumably because it'll change the votes or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know why the conservatives stopped bussing them into, like, Martha's Vineyard. Like, okay, if you're bothered by this, then do it to them. Like, I'm perfectly happy to have them around. And if you don't want them bussed here, then bus them there. Like, why did they stop doing that? That was great. That was highly entertaining.
It was pretty funny. But, James, a lot of these conservatives have an angle, right? Like, their angle is to justify the crackdown that they want to see the government do. It's not enough to separate children from families and hold people in camps. They got to turn them around immediately and throw them back to the wolves, because a lot of these people are trying to get asylum, by the way. That's what these conservatives are flipping out about right now. If you go on social media, you'll see conservative people posting pictures of people standing at the border. They're saying, oh, they're coming here illegally, when the reality is they're literally standing in a line to apply for asylum, which is legal.
And make no mistake, if they allow it to occur, the E-Verify system that they're pushing for will become the mark of the beast that they fear.
Which Florida, by the way, is now mandating, according to a bill that got passed this week.
Wow.
Yeah, that reminds me of, like, creating a problem to find a solution.
Yes.
Yeah, problem, reaction, solution.
The Hegelian dialectic.
Hey, hey, but guys, can I say just one last thing real quick, right? Because sometimes I listen to the commercials. They show, like, the old programs. You know what I mean? You know
the old promos.
Yeah, but the problem is, man, those promos, they don't say, like, for example, the beginning of the commercials, they don't say, like, from the vault of Free Talk Live, episode so-and-so from so-and-so, the 2000-something, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there a way that you guys can do something to the commercials to put them again? with that information so we can look it up on the
No, those are so old, man. I mean, a lot of those promos, I couldn't tell you where they came from. I mean, some of them are 15, 20, years old.
But if you want to go to the archives and listen to them all, and
well, he's trying to find out.
I know,
right?
But I'm just saying, somebody's going to have to do that work.
Yeah, if you find them, let us know.
Yeah, good luck, man. Hey, James, great hearing from you, man. Thank you for the call tonight.
Thank you, man. Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, man. Let's talk to Law Dog in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Law Dog.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Ian. We got an invasion of Goshen.
Goshen.
G-O-T-I-O-N. They're going up in the Big Rapids area. They're going to put a solar battery plant up in there, and the farmers and everybody up there are up in arms. Gretchen and the crew are going to divvy out pretty close to $750 million in incentive to them to come in, and it's basically an invasion up there in that beautiful country.
So who is Goshen?
Goshen is a Chinese solar battery plant.
Okay. And so basically they're using political favors to move a manufacturing facility or create a manufacturing facility in Michigan. They're getting taxpayer incentives for that.
Oh yeah, Gretchen the crew you know, they're financing it. It's horrible, and those people are up in arms.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I mean, Michigan's going to have a resolution. It's a revolution. It's
is it though?
Northwest upper the lower peninsula, the upper northwest in the Traverse City area, like I said,
fingers crossed, we certainly support their independence.
Yeah, I would love to see Michigan seceding from itself in some way, shape, or form. Is there a Michigan secession movement, Law Dog?
If I was the upper peninsula, I would do that, but see...
Are you not? In that part of the state, you're elsewhere.
No, I'm down south here, but it's going to get ugly quick from the way it sounds. Maybe there's some callers, or you got some affiliates up in that Grand Rapids, Holland, Big Rapids, Traverse City.
We actually have WTKG. It's one of our oldest affiliates there in Grand Rapids. Hey, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. I understand the frustration when
you
hear this.
If you're up in Michigan and your problem is that they are taking away your liberty, we're right here, guys. New Hampshire, it's right over here. You want liberty? Come here.
If you're a libertarian. See, that's the thing. There's a lot of conservatives that believe they think they want liberty, but oh, wait, except for those Mexicans who want to come on up here and have their own freedoms. We can't have that. Or, oh, my God, we can't have a drag show in our town. Well, no. I mean, so if you can't allow other people to have their freedoms, if you can't allow other people to live their lives the way they want to, then you really don't belong in New Hampshire, in my opinion.
And a lot of this comes back to the seen and the unseen, right? So, like, people can't see that the charities will step in without the government getting in their way.
Right.
And they can't see that when you allow these people to work for cheap, it brings your everything costs down.
Down, yeah.
I was just going to say, so... the words I think I like to use for people when inviting them to New Hampshire is, if you would like to voluntarily contribute a portion of your time working towards achieving actual freedom in our lifetime, come to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
All right. If you come to New Hampshire, you're not going to find that we already have it. We have more of it than most states do. But we don't really have it yet.
Well, yeah,
but we're working towards it, and that's the point. We want people who desire freedom and that are willing to put in the effort to work for it.
Well, he's talking about things getting ugly. So, like, if you're facing the possibility of, like, a civil war or something, go to where you can do things peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
Go to where you can fight for freedom in a place where you don't have to get shot doing it.
I agree. There was, I think it was Justin O'Donnell, who's a Free Stater in Manchester, was having a conversation with this online influencer chick named Shu, and she was complaining about the idea of having to move somewhere in order to be around other like-minded people. And Justin was pointing out, like, this is the best solution. This is what you need to do. If you really want your life to be better, if you really want to live in a place where people are surrounding you who are of like mind, you really ought to pick up your life and move. And her viewpoint was essentially, well, I shouldn't have to. Well,
That's nice.
Okay.
I agree. But, I agree. They shouldn't be abusing you.
Yeah.
But look, if your spouse is beating you, they shouldn't be beating you. But you might have to get out of there.
It might be uncomfortable for a little while, right? You might have to live on your own. You might have to pay all your bills or whatever, right? There may be some challenges involved in moving somewhere new. You may have to meet new friends.
The world is not what it should be. Yeah. But if you move, you can make it what it could be.
If you're not willing to take one of the most basic steps, which is literally voting with your feet, then what can you really expect to change? You know, yeah. Are you just going to beg?
And I have to say, since moving and meeting people who are for freedom, the amount of discussion I don't have to have is refreshing.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how
You're already on the same page, I mean.
Yeah, I don't have to catch everybody up to where I'm at and re-explain every single point and thing. And, you know, it's like people are already there. We got to, the government's the problem. We got to build our way out of this thing. We have to construct things. We have to inform people. We have to educate people.
Yeah, best part of being here is they already know. They're already caught up.
Yeah.
Everyone's already figured it out. I don't have to walk you through the process only to have you, like, forget it because you have Stockholm syndrome and you don't want to face reality.
Like Rick.
Well, right. Right. And there was something that made me think about this recently about some friends of mine who, when they were in my circles, when we were around each other, whether it was here in New Hampshire or a friend of mine who I had as a roommate in Florida, who ended up moving because of whatever reason out to the West Coast. And my friend who I was a roommate of mine in Florida, he was a libertarian. Like, he would go to events and stuff with me and was very helpful. And he's not a stupid man, right? Like, he's very, very intelligent. But when he moved out to California, who was he surrounded by?
Commies.
Not libertarians.
Not right.
Whoever it was, they weren't libertarians. And so within a decade or so, Mark Edge and I were going out to some conference, you know, like a radio conference of some sort, talk radio out in California. We're in Los Angeles. And I looked my old friend up and, you know, hey, let's get some dinner, right? So we went out to dinner with him. And just the way he was still, you know, my friend and everything, like we had a nice dinner and caught up and all that. But he was supporting things that he would not have supported when he was in my circles. He had changed his belief system, likely because of who he was around.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another example of that where Meg McLean, I'll name names on this one because some people know her. She used to be a host here on Free Talk Live. She's designed a lot of cool stuff that you've probably seen, like the Shire Society logo. That's her work. She's done some of the flyers that we hand out. I mean, she's a talented graphical artist. She was up here, lived in Keene, did some awesome civil disobedience. She got arrested in D.C. with Adam Kokesh before doing civil disobedience in D.C. I mean, this chick was a hardcore libertarian activist. Now, doesn't seem like that. She moved out to Oregon and subsequently spent some time in London. And I think she's back in Oregon at this point. But who's she gonna be spending her time around out there?
Yeah.
Probably not libertarians. So she would have to adjust her demeanor, her belief systems, whatever, to try to fit in to a different society. And now whenever I see her post on Twitter, I'm like, oh, man, happened to you?
People become who they're around.
Yes.
Like, if you want to know what you're like, look around at the people you hang out with. That's what you're like.
Well, and the takeaway here is...
And a lot of people desire consistency and are willing to be alone wherever they are in order to remain sane, logical, consistent people. And you can be both surrounded by friends and consistent here.
Yes.
You can't do that anywhere else.
So the point I wanted to make was the other side of that is true, meaning that the people we are around who aren't per se the libertarian types, there may be some of the people who might think a certain way about immigrants, or they might think a certain way about, you know, drugs or whatever the issue, whatever the issue is. They may not agree with the libertarians, but if they start being around libertarians more often And they were talking about this on Free State Live this week. I think that's what got me thinking about it. Free State Live is the Free State Project Monday night show where they interview Free State Project participants and talk about various different things. And they were discussing, I think it was Justin O'Donnell who said that he plays Magic the Gathering with this one guy who has described himself as a leftist ever since he's known him. He still describes himself as a leftist, but he started to sound a lot more libertarian over the years after having spent so much time with these libertarian people just playing Magic the Gathering with them. And so that's an example of how other people will kind of just come along. And people who have differing belief systems, when they hear the libertarian ideas being espoused from friends and coworkers, and they're hearing it more than just some guy on the radio or more than just some libertarian presidential candidate every 4 years, when it's something they can't escape, when it's something that their friends and their coworkers are part of, they have that belief system and they espouse it, they're going to come along because most people just want to fit in, right? Like, if it's true of our people who, when they move somewhere else, they just want to fit in, right, as sad as that is, it's true, then it's certainly true of other people who don't have the same beliefs that we do.
I agree with everything you're saying, with the exception of, ironically enough, I came here knowing that I wouldn't fit in. And I think people would say, well, you fit in just fine, Captain. But, like, no, that's not really true. Right?
You don't feel like you fit in here?
Well, I don't feel like I fit in anywhere.
Okay.
And that's been the thing that has sort of been with me my entire life, is I've never felt like I've ever fit in anywhere. But I really didn't fit in the West Coast.
Okay.
Right? Like, I do fit in far more here than I did there. But I came here knowing that there would be sort of this period of time of everybody feeling each other out. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, you got to, you know, immerse yourself in the community. You got to meet people. And I haven't done, like, a lot of that. My circle is pretty small right now. But my circle is filled with people I trust. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing to me. My community, where I live, where I bought my property, that's filled with people I don't know.
Right.
You know what that's I mean? I know two of my neighbors, and that's really the closest, you know, that anybody has really gotten to me in where I, you know, physically reside and that kind of a thing. But fitting in is the not fitting in is the reason that I came here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew that it wouldn't be like an immediate thing. Like, I'd get here and like, oh yeah, we're all friends and buddies. It's like, no, it takes work. You gotta, establish friendship and, you know, develop rapport with people and figure out to you who's cool, who's not, you know,
right.
Oh, I really like that. No, I don't like that guy anymore. Right. So, I don't like that. Now I really like that guy.
Right? So I think this is one of the unspoken real strengths of New Hampshire as this migration we're talking about. Hey, if you love liberty, if you're a libertarian, if you're a voluntarist, if you're an anarchist or whatever, if you care about liberty, you should move to New Hampshire. Not only because you will have a community of like-minded people with whom you can communicate and you can hang out with and do activism with or whatever, go to a knitting club with or whatever things, you know, play Magic together, whatever your thing is.
There's
go
a
shooting.
Knitting club?
There is. Go shooting, do artwork, you know, whatever it is, you'll find people who are kind of in your viewpoint. But also the influence that a large number of libertarians can have, not just on politics, because we obviously are influential there. We've made big headways in the political system here in New Hampshire, but on the culture.
Yeah.
Which already is pro-freedom in New Hampshire, so we are backing that up to some extent. But the more people encounter libertarians, the more often they encounter them, the more libertarian those people will become. And that's the thing we have here that no other libertarian movement has.
Right.
We have mindshare of people. And the more people that we can move here, the more and the larger that mind share will be, the more often people in their average everyday life are going to be hit with people who they know and respect.
Yeah.
People that they work with, people that they're, you know, in their neighborhood, people that they're that are dating their son or daughter or whatever, right? Right? Like, they will start to, it'll be to the point where they can't avoid these ideas.
You were talking about his leftist friend. Now, you are still going to have the same values. You're going to want the poor to be fed. You're going to want to stick up for minorities.
Yeah.
But instead of solving these problems through oppression, through increasing government, through forcing people to do things, which never actually works, you're going to be able to see how freedom solves these problems, how a free market actually gets people fed, right. How allowing minorities to arm themselves keeps them from being oppressed. And on the other side of things, if you're on the right side of the spectrum where you're like, hey, I want to have strong community churches, mm-hmm. Well, you can either do that by oppressing people, by forcing them to live to your values, or you can do that by having freedom. And by having the liberty to create strong churches and communities.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Ricky from the Commonwealth in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Captain, Peakless Mountaineer. Good evening.
What's on your mind tonight, Ricky?
Well, you know, I heard immigration Rick, and I heard immigration Mark, and I heard other nonsense. Now, what I wanted to say is we had this great discussion between you, me and Aria the other Tuesday, but I made one mistake when I was talking about workers and I said about citizenship. Citizenship, scratch that. Because I got a personal story to share from you in 2017. In 2017, early 17, I knew a girl by the name of Sarah. I talked to her every day. And one day she told me she was at a cheap hotel, real cheap. She told about her new friend Jose, you know, and she talked to me some more. But then she told me she had a secret that it was his. But then she talked to me some more and said, Jose's trouble. I asked her a couple questions. And then one day I said to her, Sarah, I know what the secret is. He's not legal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I said, Sarah, you know me. You know, I can help. Because she said how concerned he was lately. So one day she puts him on the phone with me. And he tells me this one. You know, he says, you know, because she knows what I'm all about. And he puts me on the phone and he says, you know, Mr. Ricky, you know, I work, I go to work, I come home. But, you know, sometimes policemen, he stare at me and stop me. And, you know, I'm not even Mexican, I'm Spanish. And I told him, I said, well, Jose, you know, he's a bad cop, that one. They're not all going to do that. But here's the thing. If you ever need any help, you know, you contact me. Now, what ended up happening is after that, I heard that Jose got his phone stolen. His contract phone. I did meet him before that and had a beer with him. But I go over to Sarah's place one day after that. I go in, I visit her once a week, and she looks sad. I said, what's wrong? She said, he's gone. What do you mean he's gone? I said, he's gone. I talked to him yesterday, last night. He went up to his room, and I never saw him. I said, Sarah, he's not coming back. So what do you mean? I think it's pretty obvious to you guys. Somebody reported him.
Man, hey, you know that's what's unfortunate.
And you know what's worse than that? Because I'll tell you something about this guy. He was way into the process for citizenship.
No, it sounded like he was a worker, though. It sounded like, you know, and that's what you hear the most about, at least in my experience, about immigrants, is they're hardworking people,
yes,
who will work circles around a lot of Americans,
yeah,
and do it for less. And I think that's who you're getting. Those are the people that are lined up to come here for the most part. Out of time tonight. Join these guys here in about a half an hour at watch.freetalklive.com for Beard Talk Live. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.